Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Bears. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. And look, everyone, BetOnline, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's also the best way to place your bets. And don't forget, it's free to sign up. So head to that website right now, BetOnline.ag, and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is only at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming back into the pod. Very happy to have a returning guest on here today. He's the host at 670 The Score. He also covers the Chicago Bears. It's Mark Grody. Hello, Mark.
What's going on, Joey? Good to see you again, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, good to see you again. Happy New Year 2021. I think we're ready to turn a new leaf on this whole thing here. And we're here to talk about the NFL draft, among other Chicago sports going on. Chicago Bears pick at number 20 next week. It's been a really interesting offseason, right? There's been a lot of rumors that I think we could say are either false or true. I think the Russell Wilson probably felt a little bit more true than maybe a Derek Carr or Carson Wentz situation. Heading into the draft next Thursday, what do you believe and what do you think the Bears will do at 20?
I think if the Bears keep the 20th pick in the draft, and you know, that's always worth saying if, just because of the history of trading up or trading down from Ryan Pace, and that could create some exciting potential if he is to make a trade. But if they do stay at 20, I believe right now, as we speak, that the Bears would go, and I don't say this with like complete, you know, confidence, but offensive line, I do think that they would go that direction. And I've been zeroing in on a little bit, Tevin Jenkins, the Oklahoma State tackle. So, yeah.
Big, nasty, mean, Chicago bred.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since the Bears have dipped into the first round to get an offensive lineman. But I think that, you know, the Bears talk so much about not just getting better at one position on offense, quarterback, but fixing the entire offense. And it's not sexy to consider offensive line, but right now, and things could change, I'm thinking offensive line.
Yeah, look, I'm in agreement with you right now. I think we need someone who's big and nasty and ready to roll. And do you want to know what is sexy? Heading into next offseason with a really good offensive line that is young, athletic, mean, and ready to roll. And if we're going to attract a franchise quarterback, because I don't know if we're going to be able to find one, if we're going to attract a franchise quarterback, doesn't it start there with that offensive line as that building block?
Absolutely. And I think they started to figure it out last year to some degree in terms of getting the interior of that offensive line set. Obviously, Cody Whitehair back at guard. Hopefully, you'll get a 100% James Daniels back in the mix this year. Obviously, Charles Leno Jr. is still there. No more Bobby Massey. So things started to look good on the interior. Now you just got to figure out the outside a little bit. And if they do draft an offensive lineman, somebody sturdy in the high rounds, that might be a position of strength this year. You might be able to look at it and say, hey, Sam Mustipha is for real at center. We know Cody Whitehair is the real deal at guard. He could have some Pro Bowl years, I believe, playing guard. You know, and then I mentioned James Daniels as well. If you draft a guy and you have the outsides taken care of, then man, wouldn't it be nice to just have that be a position for the first time in a while where you just look at it and say, we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. And you can rotate in, you know, Alex Bars and a couple of other guys that they have there in terms of depth. And yeah, wouldn't it be nice to solidify that? Because then you can actually maybe like some of the offensive weapons that are already on your team, say an Andy Dalton, for example, keep building on the success that David Montgomery had over that final month of the season and, you know, and be competitive, maybe control the football game a little bit more because we might not be as explosive as other teams, but that offensive line might give us a shot. Let's go to fantasy land just real quick. If you read right now, we've got Bears rumors about them trading up to 6. Bears rumors of them trading with Dallas at 10. Bears rumors trading with pretty much anyone right now in the NFL. We're paired with anyone right now. We're a hot commodity. Just in your opinion, how high is too high, or what kind of draft capital is too rich or too much for you personally that would probably have you looking at a deal sideways if they did move up?
Well, I guess that kind of depends on who they'd be targeting. Like, I think the Bears would move up if one of the quarterbacks is to slip. If they see somebody like, because I think like the there is still some mystery surrounding somebody like Mac Jones. Like, is he going to go? I mean, he could go, very well could go in the top three or four. Who knows? But if he slips down a little bit, like if he gets into that 8 or 9 or 10, as you said, range, might the Bears move up at that point to snag a quarterback? I could see a scenario like that. That's a great question, though. Like, what is, at this point, with the Bears roster having so many needs, what would be too much to give up? And I think that's a great question, because they've been burned by that, as we know in the past, giving up too much to move up in the draft and get something that doesn't work out. So, you know, that is something worth pondering and zeroing in on. But until we know exactly who they'd be moving up for, it's really hard to answer that specifically.
Yeah, there's a reputation, right, a little bit with Ryan Pace about, does he give up a little bit too much? I was having a conversation with someone else the other day, and we were talking about Ryan Pace's conviction. And I think we came to the discussion of conviction with boundaries, right? You can be passionate and you can be enthusiastic and you can go for something, but you do have to have boundaries at the end of the day. Would it be fair to say that if you, any trade up situation, as long as it didn't involve first round capital, future first round capital, you probably could be okay with?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I, in my mind, I'm just thinking about how much or how little, you know, first round, you know, capital they would give up in future years. Now, it was worthwhile to have a couple of years without a first round pick with Khalil Mack. Like, that was good. Say what you want to say about Mack and his production in the last year or so, but that was worthwhile. But you got to be really careful, you know, and I didn't have a problem too with the offer that was given up for Russell Wilson. If the Bears had made that deal, giving up, you know, 2-3 first round, like, that's all good. But yeah, you, because of how valuable the draft is and building from within, and those first round picks are the guys that typically make it, you have to be really careful on how much capital you want to give up. And I'm hesitant at this point to give up a lot unless you know it's a slam dunk guy.
Well, especially if let's just say the Russell Wilson thing maybe isn't totally dead, and maybe next season they revisit it. You're going to want those first round picks to be able to get a guy like that. I think it'd be something that they have to consider.
Yeah. And that's a great point too, because Ryan Pace is in this position right now where it feels like he's got to win now. So one would think he would do what he has to do, even if that meant mortgaging some first round picks to get a guy who he thinks could help the Bears win now. But then he's got to have a little bit of, you know, caution in that regard, a little discipline if he is allowed to think about next year as well. Now, we don't know what the deal is between George McCaskey, the chairman of the Bears, and with the general manager, Ryan Pace. That does he have job security if the Bears win 5 games this year?
A secret 10-year deal right now, yeah, that we don't know about. I
mean, and maybe that would be for the better. Maybe he does have a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal, and maybe for the sake of the franchise, that might be better, just because he won't do anything stupid this year, or he won't go crazy with something, and he could actually think about developing and thinking about next year as well. So yeah, I think that all comes into play, but we've tried to get answers, but we simply don't know what the deal is with Pace and McCaskey. And McCaskey, you know, when I talked to him on The Score, actually, and he basically said that he is, you know, that there is no mandate, that, you know, it's not a win or go home scenario. That, now, if the Bears win, you know, 2 or 3 games, I would imagine that he allows himself to change his mind in that regard. But right now, it does appear that there is some security, which may be good, actually.
Yeah, and I respect the mystery that they're going about their business with, but obviously it breeds a little anxiety in terms of the fan base. This seems to be a bit of the flavor of the week right now. All the mock drafts that you see around town and on the national outlets and everything have Greg Newsome from Northwestern, the cornerback, going to the Bears at 20. I find that very interesting, just because I've now seen about 5 or 6 of them, you know, Daniel Jeremiah's, you know, all the guys at NFL.com. Could they be on to something? And would you like that pick? Because, man, that Northwestern defense last year was pretty nasty, and he's a really intriguing player.
I agree, he's an intriguing player, and some of my colleagues on a Zoom call for a draft meeting that we're having, and Newsom's name popped up. One of the guys said that in our little mock draft that he would be his guy. The Bears need a cornerback. There's no doubt about it. I mean, with Kyle Fuller having bolted and all that craziness, I mean, you have you know, one very good second year cornerback in Jalen Johnson. You have Desmond Trufant on the roster. You have Artie Burns back on the roster. Two serviceable guys. That's the way I would put that, but that's not necessarily what you want, serviceable. So it would not be surprising at all at this point if they were to draft a quarterback. Now, would they do it in the first round? That I'd be a little bit more skeptical of, because you can have success like they did last year. And so I don't know if it, but I guess it's a bigger point of, I don't know that they'd want to go defense in the first round of the draft, being that in so many cases that it is the offense that needs the help, but they need a quarterback, to the original point.
Yeah. And it just sort of feels like the offseason modus operandi has been focusing on offense. And I just was naturally kind of leaning towards, in that first round, they would kind of go that route. I am also very curious to see, everyone keeps talking about the Bears moving up from 20. I'm also curious to see if they move up back into the first round, late first round, or somewhere in that second round area to target maybe that cornerback or maybe even a wide receiver.
I bet something will happen. I mean, every year,
Ryan Pace. Yeah.
I mean, like, look at somebody, the guys, even on the roster. I mean, he's moved up to get David Montgomery, moved up to get James Daniels. I mean, and
Anthony Miller.
Anthony Miller in the second round, right? Not necessarily huge jumps, but once he sees his guy, he does what he has to do to get his guy. So I think that, yeah, if he sees a situation where he could relax and trade down, then he would do that. And I think he would trade up as well. I do, like just going back to what we were talking about earlier too, with the trading up, I do wonder I'm starting to think more that Ryan Pace will keep the pick at 20, just because, unless there's some sure thing moving up, something crazy happens in the early first round, they can still get their guy. I always say that because there is a certain part of this where the Bears do have to play it safe because of failures in the past, where you may want to learn from history and stay put and not try to get too ambitious or think you're thinking outside of the box when you trade up to get some of these guys.
You kind of play the board a little bit, right? Where, let's say a guy like a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields, or pick whatever those five quarterbacks, Holy cow, he slips to 12 or 13. And now, you know, the Patriots are 15. Now I can see maybe you pick up the phone and you kind of start burning up the wires a little bit to make something happen, but you kind of have to let that come to you. For them to jump up to 6, I think it's going to cost multiple first round picks. And again, you're banking on Ryan Pace making the correct decision at quarterback, where I think the benefit of the doubt is probably at its lowest point, probably in his tenure. I think we're okay to be a little skeptical about him making that choice.
Yeah. I mean, and if any of those guys, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson's not going to, that's not going to happen with him, but you know, if those guys are to, you'd also have to question why are they dropping? Why are they passing? Because there's so much smoke and mirrors that goes on with agents and players and teams leaking stuff and saying they're interested in the guy and hyping them up more to maybe set a trap for another general manager. So yeah, I mean, that I completely agree that if you can get a guy like, you know, 13, 14, 15, cool, but don't get crazy if teams are passing up on these guys unless you truly see something that other people didn't get a chance to see, which I think would be impossible from a logistical standpoint.
Yeah, unless you're Gar Foreman, right? What was the story where he promised Chandler Hutchinson that he would draft him if he didn't go to the workout? So no mystery with Gar, yeah. But you got to play with the shadows a little bit with the NFL draft. Just final one on the Bears for you. Let's just talk about some of the second tier quarterbacks real quick. Look, these are college prospects. You know, if you do have some inside intel, please do tell, but not everyone knows how these guys kind of build out in terms of the Kyle Trask, David Mills, Kellen Mond type of guys. Is there one that maybe you like a little bit more? And just talk about, what do you think the corollary reaction of Bears fans might be if they do take a guy in that second or third round? It's kind of sort of trying to satiate the quarterback position, but maybe it's not exactly what Bears fans might expect.
Yeah, in terms of who I like, the more I read about him and hear about him, I do like David Mills. And one of the things that I like one of the scouts said, when I was a scout or a draft expert, but said that he is one of the best in the whole country in terms of, like, from a scouting standpoint, at throwing to the middle of the field. and accuracy and all of that. And so that I am starting to, like, I guess he'd be my guy in that regard. And then what was the other part of the
question? So there's Kyle Trask with Florida, who was throwing to Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney. So big weapons, but statuesque guy, kind of pre-planned throw kind of dude. And then Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, who a lot of people, like even Chris Sims, has him number 4 on his board because he thinks he's got some Dak Prescott vibe to him, where his numbers aren't great, but Chris Sims contends that this guy actually had to deal with stuff that you have to deal with in the NFL, like poor offensive line play, maybe being down some scores at the time. Like, he actually had to deal with real adversity. So there's those other two guys too, as well, kind of in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's so much I think those guys probably will be serviceable quarterbacks, but there's so much like mystery surrounding them too, about how good they would potentially be, where they should actually be drafted. And yeah. And then you mentioned like, what would it mean to Bears fans? Like, you know, what is it like to satiate? That was your other question, in terms of satiating Bears fans with, you know, a second or third round pick. Obviously you have, like, I thought they were going to draft a quarterback last year. I was shocked they didn't last year. It seemed like the perfect scenario. We might've had this conversation. it seemed like it was the perfect scenario in which to draft a guy, because you had Mitchell Trubisky and you had Nick Foles. What better scenario to bring in a guy who's probably not going to touch the field? I'd look at it similarly this year. Andy Dalton, serviceable, average quarterback. You've still got Nick Foles there. Perfect scenario in which to draft your guy. No matter what, Bears fans are going to be excited that they picked somebody in the second or third round, and they're going to be calling for this guy. But it doesn't happen that often where these guys, you know, later round guys, have long, sturdy careers where they are franchise quarterbacks. So I'm just sure Bears fans will get behind whomever it is, and it's going to sound good. And hopefully there'll be a name that's familiar, like all these guys that we're bringing up, Trask and Mond, and, you know, Jamie Newman is another name as well. So, but it's a crapshoot beyond like the top 3 or 4 guys.
My biggest fear, I think, is Davis Mills at 20.
Oh, you know,
well, because I optically, no, I'm with you, right? With all these guys, everyone deserves a chance. We didn't know Mitch Trubisky was going to be probably a non NFL quality starter, but we had to give him those 40, 50 starts, right? And Davis Mills deserves the same opportunity.
Yeah,
I just think like the faith would not be really engendered towards moving, like taking him that high in the draft, where we're going to get the Ryan Pace jokes and all that stuff. And Bears fans don't deserve that.
Oh, I mean, the pressure that would be on whomever, if it's Davis Mills there or one of the other guys that we're talking about. Yeah. The pressure would be immense. And yeah, I mean, you're right. And I guess I made the point too, that it is a crapshoot beyond the top guy. So do you want to take a chance on somebody who's not necessarily a first round guy? And we all know Ryan Pace's record when it comes to him targeting somebody. Hopefully Matt Nagy would have, hey, who's your guy? Who's your guy out of those second, you know, rung guys? I said Davis Mills. You like Newman or Mond?
So I like I was in on, like, early on during the college season, I was really in on Trask. I just really liked, I liked the arm motion. I liked the arm power. I thought that he was really accurate. And then you kind of sort of, you kind of get through it a little bit. And yeah, the dude doesn't move at all. If people say it, Mac Jones is unathletic, I mean, the dude's got concrete in his boots a little bit.
Right.
I wouldn't mind that at a second, third round value. And then I was trying to look at Kellen Mond, and I'm trying to like see through what everyone's sort of saying. And I like where his feet are. Like, I love Dak Prescott, his feet. He's just like on the balls of his feet, like a boxer back there in the pocket. And I think that's a really cool thing for success for a quarterback. But again, Kellen Mond, he makes tons of mistakes. It would be a project. We would have to have patience. And my fear is, can that pressure over time, with Bears fans clamoring for a quarterback, can a guy come in and actually make it happen? Because it's been a thing for so long, and somehow the quarterback problem in Chicago has been ratcheted up, in my opinion, where the pressure is probably more than it ever has been at the position. And this has been a position that's been a problem for my whole lifetime. So So I worry about guys like that. I guess I would say I wish we had Justin Fields, but it doesn't look like that might happen, you know?
Yeah, it's so funny. Like I think I've been following the draft too long now, because I've kind of gone through all these guys. Like, I like Kellen Mond and I like Kyle Trask, and now I'm on to Davis Mills. So it's like you can go through all of these guys and talk yourself into them, but then just as easily talk yourself out of it.
Yes. And once they do draft a guy, oh, we're going to talk ourselves into him. Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah, man.
Under the tutelage of Andy Dalton.
Oh, God, dude. You know, especially if it's in the first or second round, even if it's in any of the other rounds, but you know how hyper it's going to be. Like, our draft show will just stop if they pick a quarterback. If they move up on draft night when we're doing that show, I mean, just it's going to break Zoom, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny. It's almost like the Chicago Bears aren't the Dallas Cowboys, but the Chicago Bears have been in the offseason headlines more often than a mediocre team probably deserves, right? People are talking about the Bears, whether it is the Derek Carr, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, moving up, moving down, moving around. Every single team has some sort of rumor linked to the Bears trading up or trading with them. And it's funny. We're in the headlines for, I don't know, the right reasons, but, man, people are definitely talking about the Chicago Bears this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, any team that is in the market for a quarterback in any way, shape, or form is always going to make noise, or teams like the Bears that are,
Call the Bears. Let's call the Bears.
Yeah. Yeah. They're 8-8. They're 8-8 every year. You know, that's the good news. The Bears won't be 8-8 this year, but
yeah. Ryan picks up on the first ring, like half ring. Hello. They're ready to go. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break to talk about our brand new sponsor, Kanon Sunglasses. Now, my sunglass history, it's a little checkered. I like to live a funky, fresh lifestyle, but I'm always breaking my sunglasses, or I'm buying that $10 cheap pair and then losing them automatically. Well, no more, I say. It is time to make your outdoor experience better with Kanon. Kanon sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make your lenses clearer, lighter, stronger, and Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. And let me tell you, these Kanon sunglasses, they are absolutely perfect for the golf course. So use the exclusive code KanonCast15 at Kanon.com to receive 15% off your first pair. That's right, KanonCast15, KanonCast15, Kanon, clearly better. Let's take a quick break to talk about our brand new sponsor, Just Live, a trusted source for high-quality wellness CBD products created by athletes just for you. Now, look, during this crazy time, maybe you're trying to get more sleep. Maybe you're trying to work on your energy. You're trying to protect your immune system. That's why Just Live came out with their brand new CBD gummy line. They have 6 different flavors: sleep, energy, focus, immunity, calm, and vitamin C. They're vegan and low sugar. Plus, they're founded by professional athletes Klay Thompson, Alex Morgan, Travis Pastrana, and Paul Rodriguez, because they wanted to create a CBD product that they could trust and they could stand behind. It is finally here. So if you need support with sleep, focus, energy, stress, or immune health, I highly recommend giving these a try. And right now, if you buy one of their new gummy products, you get one free. That's right. There are 6 different benefits to choose from. Instead of just choosing one, visit justlive.com and use code SUPPORT to buy one, get one free. That's right. Buy one, get one free of the new gummies in line with the code SUPPORT at justlive.com. Now back to the pod. Mark, just got a couple more for you. I just want to ask you briefly about the Chicago Cubs, just real quick. Look, they're not off to a great start. That's not a big secret. I think Cubs fans are another upset fan base right now. Very angsty. You know, they're watching their heroes kind of fall apart before their very eyes. And yet somehow I feel like we all know that they're playing terrible, but you just keep getting all these historical moments that this Cubs offense has had so far. You know, the least amount of hits since 1901 in a 10-game span. The batting average that was rivaling National League pitchers' batting averages. I mean, because of these historical lows, you have to think that there is some balance coming, right? Can we tell Cubs fans to relax a little bit, or are you just as concerned about this team moving forward?
There'll definitely be balance that it'll come forward and the Cubs will, you know, win 4 or 5 in a row. However, I do think that this is the number one problem is, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position, which has been putrid this year, just leaving men on, you know, even if they're not in scoring position. And this problem has been going on for the better part of 2 years now in terms of that at the wrong times. So while things will probably not be, I don't know, we'll be doing these historic nuggets throughout the entire year, you know, I mean, I keep calling this a bye year for the Cubs because I don't think that they necessarily expect to win. I think their attitude is it'd be great if we won. The division isn't great, so we've got a chance, which I think is like a total loser's mentality that, oh, we can win because our division sucks. But right now they're kind of in this metamorphosis of change. I mean, how do you change a philosophical hitting approach that has existed? You built this team for guys to hit the ball out of the park. Now you got rid of Kyle Schwarber. So that was one of the guys that did that, you know, launch angle, all that stuff. Chris Bryant's had a nice year so far, but you're telling them to take a different approach. Wilson Contreras, same deal. Rizzo probably has the right approach, so I won't pile him in with those guys. Ian Happ, another guy who is usually swinging for the fences as well. So there's this weird, like, they don't have the proper personnel to run the offense that they want. It's almost like a football terminology.
Let's bring in Jacques Peterson while we're at it, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the exact same player that we're talking about right now. And of course, he's not going to hit, 111 for the rest of the season. But, yeah, they just need a guy to just hit a ball sharply for a single back to center field, right? They just they need guys like that right now, and they're just not getting it.
Well, and the hitting the ball over the wall worked for them for a couple of years in 15 and 16 for sure. And to some degree 17, because they did get to the NLCS in that year as well. It's just not working anymore. You know, you had that one, I don't know if you watched the game. I think it was on, was it Friday or Saturday?
Saturday, they scored 13. Yeah.
That was, where they hit, where Bryant and Contreras each hit two. I think they had a grand slam that day, but that was like 15 and 16 Cubs. I should say second half of 2015 and then all of 2016 Cubs, where it's them, it's we, them boys hitting the ball out of the ballpark and, you know, the run differential game. But, you know, sitting back and waiting for those kind of days has become far and few in between. It worked until it didn't work. And now there needs to be some sort of, and then I think there is, I think they're in the back of Jed Hoyer's mind. There is this, you know, I don't know if it's a rebuild, but the different types of guys will A, be drafted and B, be signed going forward with the Cubs when they have money again.
When they have money again, they're just going to have to work their way back up to the top. But that's a gripe for another pod. Yeah, you're bringing up a really good point. You know, it's just funny when you look at these World Series teams moving forward. You know, they don't have the Dexter Fowler. They don't have the Ben Zobrist. They don't have the guys that just hit the ball sharply and just kind of get on base. The same thing that sort of happened with the White Sox when they lost Aaron Rowand. You know, mm-hmm. We all talk about Paul Konerko and Jermaine Dye and everybody, but it was kind of those guys like Aaron Rowan that could, you know, execute a hit and run. You know,
Tadahito Gucci.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great call too as well. Yeah. Just like dudes that can just, you know, hit line drives all over the ballpark, and then you got the big boppers driving them in.
Right.
Mark, we're going to get you out of here. And one more thing. I wanted to ask you this. We're coming up on the anniversary. Not a fun anniversary. April 30th was the day that Derrick Rose tore his ACL. It'll be the 9-year anniversary since that happened. And I've been having this topic kind of running around. It's not an original topic, but I do want to ask you, looking back on Derrick Rose's career, and you can take this to any sport or any athlete if you want to, if you could pick one athlete to have an injury-free career from beginning to end, no injuries, just line them up, let's go 12, 15 years, who would you want to see? Who would you want to bring back? Or maybe who would you bestow that gift upon in the sports landscape?
That one I would go with, and it's actually a guy that I've comped to Derrick Rose in some regards, Mark Pryor.
He's on my list too.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the, like, definitely gets talked about, but what a heartbreaking career he had. I mean, like, he was so good when he came up, and that 2003 year was one of the best, like, pitched years that I've ever seen from a Cubs starter, or maybe anybody. And then just injury after injury after injury after injury. And then it was like we got cheated. And I think that's kind of similar with Derrick Rose, right? He maxed out in his first few years and injury. And it's like, it felt we got cheated. So Mark Pryor would be my answer on that one.
I just never forget when Mark Pryor was drafted, they said, you know, power pitcher with Greg Maddux control.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, let's see what this is. He had the smoothest delivery. Now, as we found out later in life, that it was the most flawed mechanically delivery, I guess you could have, because his body was in front of his arm or whatever. But just remember, yeah, how smooth was that? Just pumping fastball after fastball, and then he would drop that curve.
Oh,
those big calves. I mean, he was a monster.
Oh, yeah. And that's so funny you bring up the mechanics, because baseball people got that wrong. All the people, you know, the scouts and the people with the big voices in baseball all said, this guy's flawless. Like Tom Seaver, right? Tom Seaver, he's got these flawless mechanics. He's going to be the next 300-game winner because of those quiet mechanics. And it did look good. I mean, I will say that. I guess, you know, it just, I guess it wasn't good, like you were saying. I mean, I can't really explain that the way other baseball people can, but like that was the shame of it. We were sold that he would be that guy, and then he wasn't. But yeah, everything about him was like, you know, throwing 98 and then bringing the big 12, the 6 curveball, and just, and then you had, you know, you had Kerry Wood going too. So you had two of these guys with these crazy good arms, and hell, you could probably put Kerry Wood on your list in this game too. While we're at it, you know, in terms of guys, like, what if he had been healthy for his entire career? What does that look like?
Yeah. Mark Pryor became one of the best towel pitchers of all time.
Oh God.
I reported
on many towel days with Larry Rothschild. And
I read your stuff on the L, my friend. I read your stuff on the L of like all the time. Larry says it's looking good. And I'm start doing this whole, he'll be back by May and all this, man.
Oh, over. Man. And Pryor hated it. He hated the media. He hated like talking about the injuries. I don't know if he hated the media, but he just hated talking about it with us because he didn't read. Like sometimes you don't know what you're getting into when you're an athlete in Chicago and the stuff that gets cared about, and having 50 reporters, you know, including yours truly, throwing a microphone up his face and asking him about his injury of the day, you know.
I got one for you. Pick one out of this list, injury free, or let's just say health throughout their entire career. Tiger Woods, Mario Lemieux, or Ken Griffey Jr.? Which one would you probably – I'm picking these guys because these guys would have, if they had stayed healthy, had maybe broken a few records that they're not a part of today.
It's a great one. I love the names on that list. If I had to pick one, I'd probably go with Tiger. I'd probably go with Tiger Woods just because, you know, I think we all – as sports fans at our very core, we like to see greatness. And we have been lucky enough to see that individual greatness with Tiger Woods. Like that got satisfied with Michael Jordan, but it hasn't quite been set. Like he should have broken the record by now. Right. I mean, if he had been healthy and it would have been very interesting to see him at 100% healthy and not have like the worst kind of injuries, you know, back and whatever the heck he's going through right now. So I'd say that. And then I love the Ken Griffey one because there was a fadeaway with him, man. I mean, like he was so great with Seattle. And then it seemed like, you know, obviously some big numbers years after that was Cincinnati, but he was never really the kid when he went to Cincinnati. Like there was injuries and just he's a first ballot, one of the goats of, you know, all that kind of stuff, but it could have been much more.
I kind of want to blame Cincinnati because he was one of the biggest stars of all time. And yeah, I agree with you. He kind of became a lost figure once he signed
deal
and went over there. Just kind of people didn't really pay attention to him. My favorite thing about Mario Lemieux, though, is I might butcher this a little bit, but in terms of the top 40 all-time points scored, every single one of them has played at least 1,000 games, in some cases 1,200, 1,300, on and on and on, 1,400, 1,500. Mario Lemieux, I believe, is in the top 8 of all-time points and never played 1,000 games. He's at like 955 games. It's pretty mind-blowing. And then the other one I was going to throw out there was Bo Jackson, just because I wanted to see it. I just wanted
– oh, my God.
What if he had played – you know, what if he had 10,000 rushing yards and he hit 300 or 400 home runs?
That's so good. Yeah. Like he again, you know, he is revered around here for his days with the White Sox, but you never quite got the full Bo Jackson, even with the White Sox. I mean, that was in his Kansas City days. And then he had the whole hip thing and, you know, which ultimately led to the end of his career. But yeah, to have seen that guy, I mean, probably like maybe the best athlete that we've ever watched in this generation. I mean, just from head to toe and proportion and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it would have been great to have seen him do like be completely healthy, and who knows what he would have turned out to be, as if he wasn't great already.
Final one. If Derrick Rose stayed healthy, would we have the Bulls won a title?
Oh my God. Holy cow. Well,
Yeah.
I don't, it's tough. I don't, you know why? I will say this. I don't know, because LeBron James stayed in the Eastern Conference. You know, I mean, he did his time in Miami, and they Miami took down Rose in 2011, right? That was the Eastern Conference Finals. And then LeBron goes back to, I'm going to say no.
I want to play the fantasy and think that we would have broken through, but LeBron just got better. And yeah, in 2011, at one point he just said, hey, I got number one on the Bulls. I got Derrick Rose. And then that series was kind of over, you know?
Well, and then who knows how, if Rose had stayed as supreme as he was and uninjured, who knows how that would have changed the way LeBron James would have built a team. Like, would he have stayed in Miami, right? Would he have gone for more guys? Would more guys join Team LeBron in Cleveland? You know what I mean? Like that. So that's why I got to say it wouldn't, unfortunately. Like, I think the Bulls would have probably kept getting back to the Eastern Conference Finals, but then there would have been like disappointment after disappointment is the way I see it.
Oh, you're saying we dodged a bullet then?
maybe. Yeah, we don't want to be like the Buffalo Bills back in the day, or the teams that lost, the Minnesota Vikings lost.
The Braves.
The Braves. Yeah. I guess it's silly to say that, but yeah, it would have been like another like chapter of angst in Chicago sports. All those Bulls teams foiled by LeBron James, just the way Michael Jordan used to foil the Knicks and all these other teams that tried to get past the Bulls. So there would have been some poetic justice for the citizens of Chicago, or against the citizens of Chicago, but it still would have sucked.
Yeah, the shoe might have been on the other foot, and LeBron would have been sticking it to us after we stuck it to the NBA for a decade. I think that is definitely possible. Mr. Mark Grody, thank you so much. I'm very thankful and grateful you're able to come back on the pod. Just please, real quick, let the good people and the listeners know how they can follow your work at 670 The Score and also your coverage of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter if you'd like, at Mark Grody Sports. I am... I'm on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, periodically hosting and then covering the Bears 24 hours a day and the sidelines for our Bears broadcast on WBBM. But, you can find me on Twitter. That's easy. You don't have to. Don't worry about all that other stuff. I'm just throwing names and numbers at you at this point. You can find me. I'm Mark Grody.
Yeah, call the hotline, 555. Dial right in.
Exactly.
Well, Mark, man, I've been reading your stuff for a super long time, and I'm thankful that you took the time here today, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
You got it, Joey. Thanks, man.
This was Believe in Bears with Joey Christopoulos. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, Canaan Sunglasses, and Just Live CBD. Make sure you check out all those wonderful sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to this pod. We got more stuff coming at you soon, but until then, be well, be safe. Please be good to each other. We will talk soon.